When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Trevor Woods here from SB Nation's Mason Brew with the last Getting to Know Michigan's opponent of the regular season. This pits 11-0 Michigan against 11-0 Ohio State. Number 3 Michigan versus number 2. Michigan won a season ago, 42-27, but that was at the Big House. Going to be a little more difficult this time around, heading into the Horseshoe at Ohio Stadium on Saturday at noon. Forecast looking like around 50 degrees, perhaps some rain. But to preview all things Michigan-Ohio State and to get a Buckeyes perspective, a man who has covered Ohio State football since 1992, Jim Neveau. How are we doing today, Jim?
I'm doing well.
We're used to seeing your name pop up and reading it up north, as you folks down south say. But, Jim, first question about Ohio State. Now, Michigan, they're a little wounded heading into this one. The status of Heisman contending running back Blake Corum is in question, as is Donovan Edwards, Michigan's running back too, and some other players. But the same thing can be said for Ohio State. They've definitely had a bevy of injuries the past couple months. How do you think the health of some key contributors is trending for Ohio State?
Well, it's been a complete mystery, shut down on anything on Mayan Williams since he got hurt in the middle of the Indiana game. And he didn't even make the trip last week. And then Trevion Henderson has been in and out of the lineup all year. He missed two games. Then he came back against Maryland last week, and he caught a 31-yard touchdown pass, I think it was, right away for Ohio State's first score. But he was looping and grimacing after that, and he came back and carried the ball 11 times in the first half and gained 19 yards, and that wasn't getting it done. So he didn't play the second half. They brought Dallin Hayden, the freshman, in. We'd had a couple hundred-yard games and blowouts, but he'd never been in a situation where he had to be the man, and he went for 146 yards, and then I think a little bit like three yards of it in the second half. So, yeah, he looked very good. But it wasn't Michigan's defense he was playing against. So I don't know, if they will go with him if the other two guys aren't right, or if they'll, try to start the more experienced person and see how it goes.
Now, defensively for Ohio State this season, they insert a new defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles, Oklahoma State's former defensive coordinator. Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, for example, said that evaluating Ohio State's defense, he sees a defense that is different schematically than others he's seen in the Big Ten to this point. Ohio State's defense, they've looked stronger and faster. They've been better across the board. One of the best defenses in all of college football, number two in team passing efficiency, ranked ninth in total defense. They're also good at stopping the run, ranking 15th in rushing defense. What has Knowles brought to the Ohio State program, and what should Michigan expect schematically from Ohio State's defense on Saturday?
He's a guy who will make changes on the fly in the middle of a game, and seems to make good adjustments. I think one of the biggest things I see is just that the Ohio State's defense is a lot more confident in themselves and in their coach this year. I think that they really believe in the guy, and he's. I can't really get into schemes. I'm not a coach, so I don't know exactly what to tell you on that. But it's definitely, you can see the improvement. I mean, Tommy Eichenberg, middle linebacker, I always thought, he's a pretty good linebacker, but this year he's just a beast. he's had a great season. The question mark on it is their cornerbacks have struggled in some games, maybe giving up bigger plays and more of them than you would expect from just the general quality of the defense they're playing. But that's what, two things that stand out. And then they can go, seven or eight deep on the defensive line, excuse me. They've got some great players there, where it's the top total on sacks is two guys, Jack Sawyer and Mike Hall, with 4.5 each. I mean, there's no one individual that plays all the time and dominates there on the front line, but there's a lot of good players.
Yeah, and Tommy Eichenberg, as you said, been a stand-up for Ohio State on defense this year, and astounding amount of tackles for a collegiate athlete 11 games into a season at 105, and 67 of those have been solo. So certainly somebody that Michigan must keep an eye on each and every play on Saturday. But you mentioned the pass defense for Ohio State, but the rushing defense, I already noted they're 15th in rushing defense, but would you say there are any games this season, and we can talk offensively too, we're gonna talk about the good offensive stuff of Ohio State, and there's a whole lot of it, but there were a few games this year, Jim, where Northwestern, of course, that was a very windy environment along Lake Michigan at Northwestern, but Ohio State, that was a battle for a bit in that one, against Notre Dame in the first half, very close game. Penn State, at Penn State, Ohio State, that game was certainly in doubt until the late moments there, the final minutes in that one. Last week against Maryland, same thing. A game that went back and forth for a while. And, of course, Michigan, we can point to games that Michigan has played this season where things were close for a bit as well. But that's what both of these teams do, right? They look at each other's film and try to expose weaknesses of the other. So my question to you, Jim, is specifically in the games I mentioned from Ohio State, Penn State, Illinois, Northwestern, Notre Dame, all wins, of course, for Ohio State, but offensively and defensively, did you see anything in particular that you could say that, oh, that could potentially be a deficiency for Ohio State against Michigan?
Well, first of all, I'll take all the blame for the 50-mile-an-hour wins at the Northwestern game, because I had tickets for two Cubs games this year, and I got rained out both times before I ever got to Wrigley. And then I go up there for an Ohio State game, and it's 50, 60-mile-an-hour wins, so it must be my fault. But now, as far as Ohio State, one stat I noticed this week when I was putting together our preview page, I had to do it early since Thanksgiving coming in there. In the first seven games this year, C.J. Stroud threw at least two touchdown passes in every game, but in three of the last four games, which would include the Northwestern game, the Penn State game, I think.
And yes.
Anyway, he had three of those four games, he had one or no touchdown passes. So, they've struggled a bit in the passing game, as silly as that sounds. I mean, his percentages have been good, but they haven't put the ball in the end zone that way, which is kind of unusual for the image they have, I think, around the country, is that, they're they're scoring all the time with these great receivers and great quarterback, which they do. But, you know, that's just kind of a quirk there that late in the season they haven't put a lot of passing touchdowns up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, now Stroud, he's somebody who has 35 touchdowns on the season, 4 interceptions. One stat I looked at that only 7 sacks allowed on the year for Stroud. So,
right.
So that would make one think, Jim, that this Ohio State offensive line, pretty good offensive line. Then the rushing statistics, Mayan Williams, he's averaging 6.7 yards per carry. Trevion Henderson, 5.3 yards per carry. And Dallas Hayden, who does have 100 attempts on the year, 5 yards per carry. So how good is this Ohio State offensive line? Because just from a numbers standpoint, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they're terrific at pass blocking. Like you said, 7 sacks all season, which I didn't look this week, but last week I think that tied him for 2nd or 3rd in the country, you know, at the top of the list. But, the thing they've struggled with, and they did better at it against Maryland, is short yardage situations. They, you know, just weren't converting the third downs, and even some couple times where they went for it on 4th downs, which Ryan Day said was making him want to beat his head against the wall. But I think they did convert 3 out of 4 third downs against Maryland last week, which that turned out to be a lot closer game than I thought, basically, because, you know, Tagovailoa had really struggled the 2 games before. I think he threw for 77 yards against Wisconsin and 74 against Penn State and got sacked 12 times overall, 7 in one game, 5 in another. So I was thinking, okay, this guy's still hurting from that injury he picked up. But he was definitely mobile and definitely hitting his passes. I think he hit 16 out of his first 18 against Ohio State. So, yeah, their defense was sort of spread out and not shutting them down in the first half there.
Yeah, and Ohio State, some of the best receivers in the country, Amika Abuka, 57 receptions, 914 yards on the year with 8 touchdowns. And then there's Marvin Harrison Jr., 65 receptions, 1,037 yards, 11 touchdowns. How good is Ohio State's receiving core? And I'll take it a step further. Is Marvin Harrison Jr. one of the best Ohio State receivers for his age you've ever seen?
Yeah, whoever rated him a 4-star recruit needs to, you know,
They need to quit their job, because Marvin Harrison Jr. should have been a 5-star, no doubt.
Yeah, he's at his age, as you said, he's pretty amazing. Yeah, well, he's pretty amazing at any age. Yeah, he's not only is he physically talented, but, you know, he's a great route runner. He's a tremendous hard worker, and not that Buku isn't. He's very, very good too. I mean, I would have liked to have, you know, their at least numerically best receiver has barely played this year. I mean, I would have liked to have seen him with 3 first round draft choices out there in their receiving core. You know, that would, you know, you see these guys get open enough as it is. I mean, and Julian Fleming has been a nice addition this year too. He was hurt most of the time his first couple years in the program, and he was hurt at the beginning of this year, but he doesn't quite have the burst that the 2 other guys do. But you know, he's done some very good things for them too. He was ranked the number 1 receiver in high school 3 years ago, or whatever it was, he came out of high school. So yeah, they've got some receivers, but Marvin Harrison Jr., he's definitely got that NFL look to him.
And have you had a chance to watch any of Michigan this year, or quarterback J.J. McCarthy? Just what are your initial thoughts of the Wolverines heading into this matchup? And, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I've been able to catch parts of several of their games and watch the whole Illinois game last week before Ohio State's game. And I said a long time ago that Michigan, you know, Ohio State fans that thought, oh, yeah, this is just going to be OSU's going to go in there and get their revenge and go on. And I was like, no, this is a very good Michigan team, too. I've been impressed with both their lines, and, you know, Corum really impresses me. And when they went to McCarthy, I could see, you know, I was looking at the stats earlier when you first contacted me, and I had forgotten this, but last year, besides, you know, the work that they did harassing Ohio State and shutting them down on both lines, sort of having their way, big moment in that game was the first couple possessions in the second half for Michigan, where Ohio State starts three and out, and then boom, Michigan hits him with, I was thinking it was Haskins, but it was Corum, but it's like a 55-yard run, sets up a touchdown, and they score in two or three plays. Then Ohio State has to punt again, and Harbaugh brings McCarthy in, and he connects on a, like a 41-yard pass to set up another touchdown, and all of a sudden, Michigan goes from 1 point up to two scores up. So, you know, that was a big moment for some guys that are back this year for Michigan, assuming that Corum's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that it you'd think it should only serve the Wolverines well, and a guy like McCarthy, who was a true freshman a season ago and is still just 19 years of age in his first year as Michigan starter, to kind of have those battle wounds and experience, and we'll see how it serves them Saturday in a very rowdy environment, I guess it's fair to say. How big of a deal, last question for you, do you think home field advantage is going to be for Ohio State on Saturday?
Slight advantage, but, you know, Michigan's played in big situations in front of big crowds. Like you said, you got a, you know, first-year quarterback there who just got the job this year, but he seems very mature and, you know, able to handle the situations, and he's very good. So, I mean, I went through it, and we do my preview thing page. I do eight categories, and I was in the format we used to do. I could pick up one team, the other team, or even. Well, I don't have the even chance anymore, and this is the year when I really need the even choice for this game, because I think it's pretty even in a lot of the categories. It was kind of hard to say, oh, Ohio State's a lot, you know, except for receiver and quarterback, where I definitely gave Ohio State the edge. But the others, I had to kind of guess, or I kind of was like, okay, I got to give Michigan at least three out of the eight here, you know. So it's close, but I don't think that, you know, the home field advantage ever completely swings it for one team or another, especially not when it's two great teams playing each other.
No, and now Michigan has a quarterback in McCarthy who he likes to meditate before games, and, you know, he shares quotes from guys from Carl Sagan to Ralph Waldo Emerson. The other day it was Leonardo da Vinci. The other day it was also there's an old Chinese proverb he said, where he said it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. So that's his mindset heading into the horseshoe. But Jim, thanks so much for coming on. You can find Jim on Twitter at @Lima_Nouveau and catch him a ton of papers, more than a couple dozen across the state of Ohio. Jim, thanks once again for coming on. I will see you up in the press box in Columbus on Saturday.
Sounds good.